Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Krishna Prasad Krishna Prasad Buddha Shivaya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinamani. Namaste Sarasvati Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashachare Shatadame Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Swastadha Swastadha Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bring from Srimad Bhagavatam, Shabdam, chapter 86, verse 38. Shruta Devo, Shrutam, Praptam, Praptam.
Sagurahan Janako Yata. Natva Muninsa Samhrishto. Dunvanva Sotna Nartaha. Thank you. Shrutadeva, Shrutadeva, Achyutam,
Lord Krishna, Praptam, obtained, Swagrahan, at his house, Janaka, Bahulasva, Yata, just as, Natva, bowing down, Munin, to the sages, Su, very much, Samhrishta, delighted, Dunvan, waving, Vasaha, his cloth, Nanartaha, he danced. Shrutadeva received Lord Achyuta into his home with as much enthusiasm as that shown by King Bahulasva. After bowing down to the Lord and the sages, Shrutadeva began to dance with great joy, waving his shawl. After bringing mats of grass and darbha straw and seating his guests upon them, he greeted them with words of welcome. Then he and his wife washed their feet with great pleasure. Purport to provide even the simple welcome, Shrutadeva had to go next door to his neighbors and borrow extra mats. This insight is provided by Sri Vishnu Chakravarti. With the wash water, the virtuous Shrutadeva copiously sprinkled himself, his house, and his family. Overjoyed, he felt that all his desires had now been fulfilled. He worshipped them with offerings of auspicious items easily available to him, such as fruits, bushira root, pure nectarine water, fragrant clay, tulsi leaves, kusa grass, and lotus flowers. Then he offered them food that increased the mode of goodness. He wondered, how is it that I, fallen into the blind well of family life, have been able to meet Lord Krishna, and how have I also been allowed to meet these great brahmanas who always carry the Lord within their hearts? Indeed, the dust of their feet is the shelter of all holy places. When his guests were seated comfortably, having each received a proper welcome, Shrutadeva approached them and sat down nearby with his wife, children, and other dependents. Then, while massaging the Lord's feet, he addressed Krishna and the sages. Shrutadeva said, "It is not that we have attained the audience of the Supreme Personality today, for we have in fact been associating with him ever since he created this universe with his energies and then entered it in his transcendental form. The Lord is like a sleeping person who creates a separate world in his imagination and then enters his own dream and sees himself within it. Purport, in the illusion of his dream, a sleeping person creates an apparent world complete with cities populated by the fictional products of his imagination. In somewhat the same way, the Lord manifests the cosmos. Of course, the creation is not illusory for the Lord, but it is for those souls who are put under the control of his Maya potency. At her service to the Lord, as her service to the Lord, Maya deludes the conditioned souls into accepting as real her temporary, insubstantial manifestations. You reveal yourself within the hearts of those persons of pure consciousness who constantly hear about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you. But although you reside within the heart, you are very far away from those whose minds are disturbed by their entanglement and material work. Indeed, no one can grasp you by his material powers, for you reveal yourself only to the hearts of those who have learned to appreciate your transcendental qualities. Purport, the all-merciful Lord is in everyone's heart. Seeing him there, however, is possible only when one's heart is completely purified. Materialists may demand that God prove his existence by coming into view as a result of their empirical investigations, but God has no need to respond to such impudence. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, "I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, for them I am covered by my
internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So, just as King Bahulasva got the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Shukadeva also got the mercy of the Supreme Lord, because the Lord went to his house and personally visited him. And we see that Shukadeva welcomed him with great devotion, but also with great simplicity, because he was not wealthy like a king. And so he offered him his straw mats on the floor, etc. But of course, we understand that more and more important for Krishna is the devotion. So it's not the external factors which are important, but the devotion. And therefore, though the seats were very simple, made of grass, and I would assume also the food given was very simple, Krishna was satisfied because it expressed the devotion of Shrutadeva. So this shows that the important factor in pleasing the Lord is the devotion, not the material elements or the things that we offer to the Lord. So we may not be skillful, nor we have the best products, but if we have devotion, then that is sufficient to offer things to the Supreme Spirit, Lord.
And thus we have rules for deity worship, which we offer many items. Still,
that can be simplified.
So in one of those 64 items we should offer.
Then we have the standard 16 items.
Then we have 8 items.
Then we have
4 items.
Then we have 3 items.
Then we have 2 items.
Then we have 1 item.
So the idea is that if you have devotion, then whatever you offer makes the work successful.
Of course, generally, we try to endeavor for offering
more of the items to the Lord.
If there's nothing else capable, then this will be acceptable to the Lord also.
And we see that in the case of the story of the Brahmana.
So he heard the lecture that
you can actually just worship the Lord in your mind if you don't have the materials available.
Since he was very poor,
and he didn't have elaborate
items to offer to a deity.
So he decided to worship the Lord in my mind.
And he did.
He concentrated sincerely.
Of course, he was worshiping a deity in his mind.
And then he offered all the most wonderful things to that deity.
So he got gold pots and pots, taking water from sacred rivers, bathing the Lord, etc.
And then finally he cooked.
He was meditating on cooking some sweet rice.
And he was bringing in pot.
To offer to the Lord,
but his thumb got burned.
And then he woke up from his trance meditation.
And then he saw his thumb was actually burned.
But as a result of his intense meditation on serving the Lord, the Lord was very pleased with that.
So he took him to Vaikuntha as a result of that,
even though he didn't offer anything physically speaking.
Everything in his mind.
So the important thing was the devotion with which he was doing his service.
So similarly,
we can't offer all the items, but there is no devotion. That also is not acceptable.
Of course, there's a little devotion, fine.
And therefore, we encourage both things, to have the devotion, and to our capacity also, we should offer the best items and try to make the worship as elaborate as possible.
That's also a sign of devotion, to offer the best things to the Lord.
Even though it's all material from our point of view, we offer the best things to the Lord, so that's a sign of devotion.
So we try to always include the devotion there, but at the same time, we try to make arrangements for the best facilities as well. So that of course is our practice of devotion.
Sutradev Bahu Las for obviously very, very advanced because the Lord was willing to personally come and see them. So
they were
siddhas.
So their devotion is not in question, therefore the Lord accepted everything. He accepted whatever Bahulas gave. He also accepted Sutradev, but it was because of their devotion that he appeared before them and stayed in their house and accepted their offerings. So the important point is the devotion. In the spiritual world, then there is no problem because whatever the devotee needs to worship the Lord, he can immediately manifest it because the objects are material. And he has the power to manifest things in the spiritual world. So if he thinks of something, it manifests for him. Of course, it's not a material object, it's a spiritual object. So therefore his worship is perfect because everything he desires to offer to the Lord, he can produce that and offer to the Lord.
So his desires of how he wants to worship the Lord are perfectly fulfilled.
But of course, this is all based upon
devotion.
If he didn't have the pure devotion, he would not be in the spiritual world.
So because of that, he's qualified.
Spontaneously, everything is arranged for the most perfect type of worship.
So the worship here is, of course, according to Vidhi. Because the jivas in the material order are ignorant and do not know how to serve, welcome, or worship the Lord properly, then the scriptures give us rules by which we serve the Lord.
So therefore we have 64 idols or 69 or 8 items or whatever.
So these are ways in which we serve the Supreme Lord,
scriptural ways. So if we follow those rules, we are actually following the order of the Lord, and therefore pleasing that way.
So it gives us a structure upon which to perform worship.
And this becomes codified as Mantra Chaka, by which we follow in worshipping the deity.
But of course, following the rules itself is devotion.
And we try to offer the items with devotion also. The problem is that we have a material body.
We have a material mind.
We have material desires. So we're not actually pure.
So then how can we approach the Lord?
How can we touch the Lord?
How can we offer things directly to the Lord?
There's no problem for Sutta Deva Bhava Vasa because they are perfect and the Lord manifests himself directly to them. But if we're doing sadhana, we're not perfect.
Our bodies are impure.
They are material.
So how can we touch the Lord even?
So this is a problem. The deity, though it looks material, actually is fully spiritual. So how are we to actually worship that form properly if we have material bodies and material mind and whatever.
So therefore we have rules for purification.
And of course we have rules like first you have to take the mantra, and with the mantra you become purified, and then you can worship the deity.
So there are some standards of purification.
We're not completely pure, but nevertheless some standard of purity is there.
So you have to have the mantra, etc.
So the mantra, like the holy name, is a purificatory tool for us, one stage in sadhana.
So it allows us access to the Supreme Lord.
Even though we're not perfect, even though we do have an artist, we get some connection to the Lord. Huh? Just as by chanting the holy name, we can connect with the Lord, even if we are impure. There's some connection. It's not perfect, but some connection there.
Same with mantra.
So through the mantra, then you get a connection with the Supreme Lord. The mantra is not different from the form of the Lord. So this connects with the deity form through the mantra. And as well, we have rules and regulations for purification. So a lot of emphasis is put on getting rid of the impurities of the material body. And then getting rid of the impurities in the mind. So of course there's physical cleanliness of the items and cleanliness of the place.
So that's a physical cleanliness.
It's still material, but at least we have some rules of cleanliness there. And then we have to cleanse the mind. So they have a process in that also.
Indeed, called Bhuta Suddhi.
In which you burn up all the impurities and establish your body without all the impure, sinful desires, etc.
So once you establish that pure, subtle body,
then you're qualified for some worship. And then just to make sure that subtle body and mind is pure enough, then you do a
manasa puja.
You worship the Lord in the mind. So that you can actually concentrate on the form and not think it's material. And after the manasa puja, then you do the external puja. So this way, when you actually worship external form, you do not identify with material elements at all. And your body is in a pure state. Of course, there's other procedures also like nyasa, putting mantra on your body to spiritualize your body. So in this way, the body is purified, spiritualized, and becomes Krishna-ized by the mantra, etc.
Putting mantra on your body.
And then you're qualified to touch the deity, serve the deity directly. So this is a mechanical procedure in one sense. But of course, we are in bhakti, meaning engaging the senses and the mind to serve Krishna. So purifying the body and the mind, physically speaking, and then performing the worship. So that is necessary in order to maintain the sanctity of the form. So along with that, of course, we have to have the devotion. And when we're qualified by having all the impurities disappear and having strong devotion, then the Lord appears directly. And he may appear in this way, as he appears to Shruti Devan, and then they serve him directly. So it's no longer a theoretical worship, worshiping the deity or this or that. They're directly serving the Supreme Lord. So the whole process of deity worship in sadhana is to enter into that mood where one is directly serving the Lord, and when one is directly serving him, then the Lord appears directly. And it's no longer deity worship, this is worship of the Lord, serving the Lord directly. So in this way, those who are qualified get the opportunity to directly serve. So we see here, Shrutadeva offers asanas, washes the feet. Etc., offers praises, massages the feet, feeds the Lord, etc. So we do the same thing. You offer an asana, you offer foot water, you offer achaman, all these things, then you offer bathing, dressing, offering food, etc. So basically, we're just going through the same things that they do with the spiritual world, Krishna is personally present. And we see this also operating in Vrindavan. So there's detailed descriptions of how the different devotees serve Krishna. So they bathe in the morning, and they cook for him, and they offer him food, and they dress him, and do so many things. So very similar to what we do in the deity worship also. So in other words, we are training our spiritual senses and our spiritual body to serve the Lord through that deity worship.
So to the extent that we can concentrate on the Lord and have that devotional attitude when we're serving the Lord, then this helps us. Develop our spiritual senses and our spiritual body. So at one stage, then one simply enters and simply enters into the spiritual body, so that is a perfect state. So Bhagavasva and Trujadeva and Trujadeva are at that stage where they directly serve the Lord. They don't see any difference between worshiping the deity and worshiping Krishna directly. So Shukadeva praises the Lord and he makes one statement here about the Lord is like a sleeping person who creates a world in his dream. So it looks rather impersonal, like my philosophy. But actually, my philosophy does not say that. It's not that the mind creates the illusion. The illusion happens inexplicably. Because the mind does not create anything. So somehow the illusion is there, and a part of Brahman is affected by that illusion. So here this is not part of the Lord or anything, it's just the Lord sleeping, and then the world is like a dream. That's expressed several places in Bhagavatam. So the meaning is that the Lord carries out creation without any effort. And here it's like in his mind or in his imagination. But it means that actually the Lord simply by his will can manifest this world. And therefore it's expressed by saying that the Lord glances over Prakriti and creates the world. So then the glance of Prakriti is said to be his ichha, his desire. It doesn't even have to glance, doesn't have to use his eyes, so they will it, and then it happens. Prakriti manifests material, and so it happens. And so that sense is in his mind. I guess the determination or his will manifests the material world. And when he desires, it immediately disappears. Without any effort. It's like when you wake up from a dream. So that sense is very, very temporary. And depends on the will of the Supreme Lord. So when you're having a dream, and then when you wake up, it's finished. So in that sense, we compare the material world as a dream. At the same time, we have definite statements to show that Prakriti itself is not illusory, it's real. And the jivas are real. And the jivas taking up bodies in the material world in different forms. Also real, not an illusion. But compared to the spiritual world, we can say it is like an illusion. For the jiva, it's like the jiva in a dream. When he wakes up, then he has the real world, the spiritual world. And the other way, of course, the illusion is that what the jiva sees here, though it is not unreal, is very different from what he sees, and that's that it is illusory. So definitely, he is seeing something, but quite different from, he sees objects of enjoyment. But actually, it's only Prakriti. Which has no qualities at all for enjoyment, in one sense. It's only due to the jiva's mind that he and the desires that he thinks that they are enjoyable. So we have ignorance and ahankara and desires, and this produces enjoyable objects in this world. Actually, they're nothing. They're just a bunch of earth, water, air, fire, ether, material elements. Nothing to be enjoyed there at all. The jiva's in the material world, look at the material world, and then I think I enjoy it
here.
So that's the illusory part of the material world.
What the jiva projects, upon the material world, and the jiva has a separate delusion about what is enjoyable.
So in that sense, the whole world is
dreaming.
So when you're having a dream, then
you think those objects are objects of enjoyment or objects of mind or objects of like or dislike or fear or whatever.
Then when you make like, oh,
something like that.
So where the jiva attains knowledge, then he looks at the material world and says, oh, these are not objects of enjoyment at all. There's something else. There's useless things.
As if waking up from a dream.
So in that sense, it's a dream.
So it's a dream definitely
for the jiva.
It's a dream for the Supreme Lord in the sense that,
involvement with the bahuranga shakti, external energy.
And his real concern is the spiritual world with the
bahuranga shakti.
So that's actually where the Lord gets his real happiness or real ananda
in the spiritual world.
So his production of the material world is a secondary type of pastime or lila,
in which he involves himself.
But to a lesser extent, so therefore we say it's Paramatma that deals with the teacher.
And as Bhagavan, he's involved with the devotees in the spiritual world and bliss.
So the two worlds are quite different.
So in that sense, it's like a dream for the Supreme Lord also.
Secondary feature of the Lord.
The Lord is the one who 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 is the